skies above and open the doors of the heavens. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Beth Lynch, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, O Savior, Precious Savior, hymn number 282 in Lutheran Worship.
Counseling and also training director at the Samaritan Pastoral Counseling Institute. Long ago, I was a Navy Reserve chaplain, so it's been an interesting journey. And in that, I got to learn a lot of things. Not only did I get to teach Jewish rabbis, Catholic priests, Methodists, Lutherans, but I got to learn from some of those people, physicians, nurses, obviously pastors, and a lot of leaders. So it's been rich. So I come and join you this morning as we worship our Lord. We begin with the first hymn, which is in your bulletin, 282.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if you confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world in all its need with life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The lector this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
The first reading is from the 16th chapter of Exodus, verses 2 to 4 and 9 through 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in responsive reading of Psalm 78 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of heaven.
He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven.
Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat.
He let loose the east wind from the heavens, and by his power made the south wind blow.
He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sand on the seashore.
He gave them the land inside their
They ate till they were gorged.
He had given them what they craved.
The second reading is from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Alleluia verse. Alleluia. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. John, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of our Lord.
We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, Guide Me, Ever Great Redeemer, hymn number 220 in Lutheran worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
So why are you here this morning? Why are you a member of St. John's? And why are you a member of the Holy Catholic Church? Is it for training so that you can be a good person and lead a good life and do good things? Well, that would be commendable. Or is it a little more than that? Is it formation? You see, it raises the question whether you just want to be a good person, which is commendable. Paul and Jesus and others complimented them. Or maybe it's a little more. It's becoming a disciple. And you become a disciple through a process that is over time, a long process of repentance and forgiveness and formation. For example, you can get trained to be an electrician, You can have training, and you can do a good job. Plumber. You can have training to be a teacher. And you can teach children. You can give them content. A carpenter. Even a musician. But it's sort of like you can have training to do military activities as a National Guard on the weekends, but that won't make you a Navy SEAL. That will be very different. Then you won't just do something on a weekend. A Navy SEAL is a SEAL. They've been through formation. They've been way over their head. That old self they had found itself in water way over its head and broke. And a new one was formed in the process with a team of people around them. And now they're different. But we can bring it closer to home. Do you think you can become a mother online? Won't work very well, will it? Now, you can learn how to take care of kids and do child care, yes. But you can't become a mother online. That takes formation. That means that once you are one, you're not who you were before. Now you are called a mother. Oh. Do you think perhaps you can become a husband online? Probably it won't work. Because when you walk down the aisle, you're a single man. When you walk back, and as the years go on, you become this odd thing called a husband. And you can't go back. You can't ever take it back. And by the way, that's God's gift to give you someone to help you civilize yourself. We know we need that, but what you dare not let happen, by the way, in becoming a husband is that the other party completely succeeds in civilizing you. If that happens, you won't be worth having around anyway. So, in the process of formation, an old self dies. That's in Ephesians, by the way. An old self dies and is gone, and a new self rises up, which is different now. And can't go back. There's a process going on that's ancient from the very beginning. There's a leaving going on of the past and a grieving over a loss. And then there's a joining into a new world and full of rejoicing and wonder. I know we Lutherans have a little trouble with that. We can take the joy out of a lot of things. But it's a gift of God, this joy. Well, this is what's going on in the chapter of the gospel lesson today, John 6. A lot of connecting going on. I was surprised when I read these, John 4, no, 5, 6, and 7. All of them begin, metatauta, excuse me, that's the Greek, the way they begin. After these things, John's connecting a bunch of things together. In the fifth chapter, he's trying to give a formation lesson to the religious leaders, and they're not getting it very well. In fact, they're getting pretty hard. In the sixth chapter, he's talking to the crowds. In the seventh chapter, he goes home and talks to his brothers. They don't get it very well either. But we'll look at six. Six is a story of the bread. First part of the story is Jesus has, in chapter 5, done some mighty acts. And he goes up to a mountain. And then in the mountain he looks out and the crowds have followed him. They are really thrilled by this new prophet. So they follow him. And he looks out. And as he looks out, it's a lot of people. And he wonders about lunch. And he says to Philip, he's the first one that is tested. Now, that's part of the life of being formed. We are tested, strengthened, tested, strengthened. So he looks at Philip and says, where in the world are we going to get enough to feed all these people? And Philip is thinking pretty literally. He hasn't caught on a lot yet. These disciples, it takes time. And so Philip says, you know, if we had a half a year of a working man's wages, we could only buy a snack for each one. It's really limited. Then Andrew comes up and he says, I got a boy's lunch here. It's 5 loaves and a couple of fish. What's that? And then Jesus starts to teach in a new way. And he said, you know, have the people sit down. He took the lunch, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks. And passed it out. And when he was all done, took up the leftovers, 12 baskets full. That's symbolic, but we won't go there right now. But he took up 12 baskets. Now the people are starting to murmur. Boy, you know, if we could make that guy our president, our king, or whatever, we would really be in the clover. We'd really have a lot. Why don't we just make him king? And Jesus knows this, and he says, knowing that they were about to come and make him king by force, he disappeared into that mountain somewhere. You ever had that temptation to make Jesus over in your own image so that he performs like you want or I want? And he may disappear. Step back. So nightfall came. The disciples decided to go back across the Sea of Galilee. The crowd dispersed and Jesus came down to the shore and walked out on the water to meet the disciples and terrified them. Who in the world is this now? I mean, we thought we knew who he was, but who is this? When you ask that question about Jesus, remember you're going to be asking it about yourself. Because if he says who he is, you're going to discover more and more who you are. They're connected. That's the way it is. So he got in the boat, and the boat went to the shore. And then we pick up the story. The crowd now, after being confused about where in the world he is, finally found him and said, how did you get over here? And when did you come? And Jesus said, you know, you're looking for me for the wrong reason. You guys did not see the real sign that was there. You just saw bread. You got bread for your bellies, and you didn't see the action of God really happening. You know, you ought to stop working so hard for stuff that disappears, bread that perishes, food that just disappears, and set your mind to working for something that'll last forever into eternity. Oh, well, they heard that. What would it be to do the work of God, they said. And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Notice how he phrased it, that this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, meaning himself. Faith. You cannot go out and create your own faith. Impossible. You can't believe until he comes to talk to you. Remember, Luther put it in the Catechism very simply. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel and then invite me with his gifts. Then I can respond. The work of God begins with God reaching out to us and calling us by name, whether it's in baptism or the words of parents or an aunt or an uncle. That's how it starts. Let's go back just a moment to the, what are you working so hard for things that disappear? We all do it. I'm thinking of a couple who worked like crazy when they were first married and they got to be about 30 years old and they built their mansion on a hill. They had this millennial education. They had everything you'd want up on that hill. And then they looked at each other and fought like a cat and a dog and divorced. And it all collapsed. They'd missed something. That's what he's talking about. They missed something. Oh, but we all do it, don't we? What do we work so hard for? Some of our millennials say, oh, they're working so hard for college degrees and graduate degrees and credentials until they're exhausted. They lost their soul. You can work so hard for a big bank account. You can think of a gentleman who worked so hard and retired early and bought himself his camper and everything was there. 6 months later, he was dead. It happens. What do we work so hard for? None of that's bad, by the way. None of the stuff is bad. College, money, home. It's all a blessing. It's when it goes crooked. And that's Jesus was speaking to the crookedness sometimes. Because he said, Moses didn't give the people the bread. My Father gave it. Subtle little difference? Ah, but important. Moses, for those people, even when they quoted the Bible, Moses had become bigger than God in their life. A catch. Sometimes religion can become bigger than the faith in our life. We all come from the Missouri Synod. You know what the Missouri Synod used to be? And it was a blessing. We got a lot of blessings out of it. But then sometimes it got to be the point where we couldn't see the church Catholic because we were the only ones in our little compartment going to heaven. Others did it too, of course. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You count your blessings like Moses and see the breadth of God's grace. I saw it on the Zambezi River in Africa on a boat. Sat down and talked to this guy. He was a French Huguenot Christian. I'll bet you never heard of one of those. His family had been there 300 years. He was a Christian. We talked. We had a good talk. Yeah. You can discover the breadth of God's grace while giving thanks. It was not Moses. It was my Father who did that. The other thing that Jesus picks up and is raises an issue that's hard for us is gifts. Our faith is a gift. God's grace is a gift. I talked to a physician once, practices medicine, got hooked on cocaine, went and got off the cocaine, a brilliant man, off the cocaine, but then came and said, can we talk? Sure, he says, this is more than chemical. This has got to do with my family and it's got to do with my faith, my spiritual life. After about a year, we talked, year and a half. It was very quiet in the room. And I said, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
I said, is there room in an addict's life for grace? And he thought for a moment and he said, no. You must understand that an addict's life is obsessed with control. Grace is a gift. You can't control it. I said, funny, that reminds me of a hymn verse. Grace taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. That's my favorite hymn. That man understands the struggle as a Christian and one who's got a deep struggle. Yes, and he can go out and he can save lives. He does. So Jesus is leading us into that. And finally he says, I am the bread of life. And now they get offended. Oh my God. We know Joseph is in this village. Mary's here, his brothers and sisters. This guy's got to be crazy. I mean, how is he going to come down from heaven? And Jesus then says, well, if that upsets you, notice he doesn't try and apologize for upsetting them. He says, if that upsets you, let me up the ante a little bit. The bread that I give for life is my flesh, my body, my blood. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life. It's by eating it. That has come to us in the sacrament. Take this body for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this for the forgiveness of sins. And now we realize it's very offensive, this God we worship in our world. Give you a little idea. If you stand in the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, Turkey, and look around, it's big, it's beautiful, blue. All there is on the walls are writings, script. It's a writing thing, a head trip. That's the religion. If you walk into St. Peter's in Rome, the first thing you see when you walk in the door is the Pietà from Michelangelo. It's Mary sitting there full of grief with her son across her lap with the wounds, dead. Our God has skin on. Our God has the magnificence of creation and humanity in the middle of it. And if you go in the Sistine Chapel, you'll see that big picture of God with his finger out touching Adam and enlightening and enlivening all of creation. And it's all different. And it's beautiful. We are given that beauty. God in the flesh, sharing our life. He shares our birth, our death, our struggles, our griefs, our joys, our wonders. So much so that Paul says he takes our sin and gives us his grace and holiness, righteousness, gives it to us. And then says, follow me. That's what he said to Peter right at the end here. And that's an interesting thing too. Everybody's bailing out because he's raising the heat in this formation project. And then he looks at the 12 and says, well, you guys going to go too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe you're Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, and Jesus said, and didn't I choose you? Oh, there's that word again. I chose you, and one of you is a devil. And that's a hard nut for us to crack too. Nice Christians have a terrible time believing that if they live the truth and speak the truth in Jesus Christ, somehow everybody's going to like them. Be agreeable, right? It's going to be wonderful. Look at the life of our Lord, and you see, no, it's not. There's the rule of three. Now, if you read the parable, it's four, but I'll make three. If you live the truth, as Jesus lived the truth, you're going to find out in this world there's going to be a bunch of people like the 5,000 sitting out there that really are going to take what you got to give and they don't give a damn about the rest. They're going to go. There are going to be some in that group, a section, that are going to get so offended they're going to hate you, even to killing, as we found out throughout the history of the world. Ah, but then there's the group that realizes what the truth is, where the bread comes from, and they love you. It's like a good marriage. They love you, but they do not always agree with you. Sometimes they even fight with you. But they'll always be there. They'll be there. That's the way it is. One last story about a young woman, a very beautiful young woman, 50 years ago, we were talking in a youth Bible study, and I told him a story from one of the Lutheran leaders of the church. Said he told a story about poor old Sam died at 45, and there was the visitation, and people were walking by his casket, and one of them said, oh, poor old Sam, gee, he didn't have an enemy in the world, and he died at 45. Church leader said, you know, the problem is that if Sam didn't have an enemy in the world, it means basically he never stood for anything in the world either. And this 18-year-old young woman, her dad was a bird colonel in the Air Force, and quite a gentleman, she looked up and she said, "That's not true either. If you don't stand for anything, somebody's going to hate you for that." She said, "You know, as long as I'm bound to be hated in life, I think I'll make it worthwhile." That young woman was going somewhere. She walked tall. She could look you in the eye. And she was going somewhere. Yeah. Are we being formed like she was and is? We're here for formation. We're here to receive the bread from heaven, to go out into the lives where He's called us to go this afternoon and tomorrow. Amen. We continue with the offering.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Barbara Perry in the blessing of Don and Jim Brennan, celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. By Beth and Brad Lynch in loving memory of Charles and Grace Blackwell, and for the lives of faith that they have blessed us with. And by Kathy Lang, in loving memory of Milton Lang.
O God, whose giving never ends, accept these gifts we offer on this day of worship.
Accept our service each day of our lives.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We rise for prayer. And we include in the prayers today Darlene Vogel, who is recovering from surgery, Don Kelm, who was hospitalized and is now in a nursing home, the Vogel family at the death of Michael, losing a battle to cancer, Dan Brown, brother of Dan Sussex, recovering from an accident, Mary Jo and Joe Moment, Mary Jo's father, Leonard Whippick, passed away on July 27th. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, you provided for your ancient people manna to sustain them in the wilderness, and in your Son you have given us the living bread of heaven. Give your baptized children the grace of seeking the food that endures to eternal life. We pray especially today for the Carlson, Castiglione, Cavallari, Chamberlain, and Chamberlain families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of harvest, your Son bids us pray that you send workers into your harvest fields. Stir up the hearts of young men and women to consider lives of service and full-time church work. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty One, you establish civil government to be a blessing. To your mercy, then, we commend Donald, our President, our Congress, our justices and magistrates, and all who serve the public in any way. Keep them honest, fill them with wisdom, and uphold them in every good deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you hear the grumblings and laments of your people when they cry out in their distress. We lift them up today, our sisters and brothers who are sick, injured, taking treatments, homebound or grieving, especially for those we've mentioned or those who we remember in our own hearts and minds at this time. Show mercy to each bruised heart and make their faith in you strong as they await the healing or provision that comes only from your hand. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in the Eucharist, your Son feeds us with food that never perishes, his very body and blood, that we would believe in his forgiveness. Taste his mercy and join him in giving you thanks and praise. Stir up in us always a genuine hunger to taste and see at this table how good you are. Lord, in your mercy. Ever-living One, we give you thanks for all those who have believed and partaken of the living bread from heaven, and so share in the unending life of your Son. Bring all of us to share with them the joys of your heavenly banquet table on the day of resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, gracious Heavenly Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord's true body and blood with a living faith as he comes to us in his supper.
Amen.
And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We share the peace.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today.
Take and eat the body of Christ for you.
As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn, during the distribution of the sacrament, is "Blessed Be the Tie That Buys," hymn number 295 in Lutheran worship.
Thank you.
body of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you. The 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 body of Christ for you. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, steadfast in the true faith, in your ministry of service to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen.
Please join us now as we sing our second communion hymn, Draw Near and Take the Body of the Lord, hymn number 240 in Lutheran Worship. Final communion hymn is I Come, O Savior, to Your Table, hymn number 242 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is stjohnslutheran.office@gmail.com. This is your announcer, Beth Lynch, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Let us pray. Holy, gracious, and loving Lord, you have nourished us at your table with your body and blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth with courage and peace, proclaiming the good news to all the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.